Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris Bartlett.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to, like, grow in holiness ourselves and raise saints.
We believe that Catholic fatherhood can and will transform the world.
Amen.
Awesome. Hey, we are joined with a guest today. I want to welcome Stephen Arms. Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, so, Stephen, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, and then we'll pull up the book and share that too.
Sure, sounds good. So my name is Stephen Arms. I live in Tigard, Oregon, and I am happily married to my beautiful wife, Emily. We've been married for 4 years now, and we have two kids. Our daughter is 3 years old, and we have a son who just turned one.
Awesome. And he's the author or co-author, or is it just straight up author?
Co-author. I wrote the co-author. Book with my dad. Yeah.
All right, Chris, hold it up and introduce it.
Yes, this is Milestone to Manhood, and it is a book that essentially looks at what does a Christian rite of passage look like from a boyhood to manhood, and it really tries to zero in on the 13th birthday and how that's a key time in a boy's life, and what does it look like really to pass the baton to the young child and say, now you're a man, and to own it, but also to rally around and support him through it. And so yeah, give us kind of the elevator pitch on the book beyond what I just shared. Why is it vital in the growth of a man?
Yeah, absolutely. The book is about a Christian rite of passage. And what that means is a rite of passage is an event in a boy's life that he can look back on and say, this is the moment that I became a man. When you look at other cultures, we find that there are rite of passage events for boys. The most famous example is probably the Jewish bar mitzvah.
Yep.
Which, you know, most people are familiar with. Other examples would be the walkabout rite of passage in the Australian Aboriginal society. And that's when they send a boy off into the wilderness for, you know, 3 to 6 months. And if he can survive on his own, then when he comes back into the tribe, he's considered to be a man. Modern Western society doesn't really have a rite of passage event for boys today. And so what the book is about, it's about a modern Christian version of a rite of passage that a father can give to his son so that his son can look back and know this was the weekend that I became a man in my dad's eyes.
Yep. Good. Yeah, I love it. And I don't know if you, did you read or have you seen, was it like Raising a Modern Day Knight? Have you seen that book?
No, I'm familiar with the title, but I haven't read it myself.
So, and that may not be the correct title, but like when my oldest kid just went off to college, my oldest son, he's 18, you know, he's a freshman at Benedictine College in Kansas right now. But when he was going, you know, when he turned 13, you know, when he was going through puberty and all that, I mean, even my 16-year-old, there was not a lot out there, you know, and I knew I needed something, you know, to usher him into manhood. And that was the only book that we had found at the time. And there are some really good things in that book, but I just love the Catholic perspective of this and how succinct it is. But like it's funny because my two oldest sons got one version of a rite of passage. My youngest son is going to get a totally different version. So I'm really glad this is out there, and I think all dads need to see this because the role of ritual in the life of a man in the the transition to adulthood, the transition to you know, manhood is so essential that is a huge thing we've missed. I know that the book alludes to this and talks about this, but if a young man doesn't know that he's a man yet, he's going to do things to try to prove that he's a man. He's going to do stupid things. He's going to be promiscuous, and those kind of conquests are going to be his way of proving that he's a man. You know, he's going to do drugs. He's going to do some pretty, you know, crazy behavior to try to prove that he's got what it takes. Cause that's what, you know, like every man is looking for, that proof. Like, do I have what it takes?
Yeah, validation is such a need. I mean, even now, words of affirmation from our wife or our boss or our clients or whatever, it's like that's gold right there. And so there is this need for ritual or routine or something that affirms that reality. And society actually has a couple of those that they've named, right? And so it's like that you can get crapped on and deal with it. They're like, man up, just be a man, quit crying, right? And so all of a sudden, going through something difficult and then ignoring how it impacts you, as opposed to actually trying to transform because of it or whatever, it's like, just be a man, and it's like being emotionless. Like, that's how society says it. Or the one that Matt alluded to is, once you've been promiscuous and if you've had sex, then you became a man. Yep. And that is not a Christian worldview. And so we have to really examine and explore, what are we offering in the way of rites or rituals? Because the world, our desire, our hunger for that exists, and the world is offering false idols all around this area.
Yep.
So you actually explored that in the book. In like the first section, you talked about the need for rite, the need for ritual. And I think that that's not just specific to manhood. That's human, you know, yep. but explore that with us for a little bit.
You know, I was reading Mere Christianity recently by C.S. Lewis, and he talks about how when he was an atheist, he had to take a very closed-minded worldview, and that he saw every other religion as false. Whereas once he became a Christian, then he could take a more open-minded worldview in saying that every other religion has an element of truth. It may not be 100% true, but these other religions have some truth to them. And I think when you look at the world and you look at all the different societies that we have, you find that there's some sort of religion or ritual in all of these societies. And I think that goes to show that the need for ritual is written on the human heart. You know, we need ritual, we need rites to bring meaning to our lives, to give us a clear understanding of our place in the world, and to connect with one another. You know, that's what this rite of passage tradition is all about. It's all about bringing a father, other male role models, and a boy together to talk about what it means to be a man and to affirm a boy's masculine identity.
And so that's kind of in regards to the ritual thing. That's why we don't have gift registries for common law marriages. We have gift registries for wedding ceremonies and actual that type of thing. It just, you don't just stumble into it. There's a need to actually say these people are married. There's a need also for us to say, you are no longer a boy, you are a man. And this rite of passage experience is how that moves forward. Matt, you said you did one, and you're like, you want to do this one for your next son. Is that kind of what you were implying?
Yeah, I mean, like, what we did was honestly similar in a lot of areas. We gathered the men that were like important, you know, in my son's life. And I even had letters written from other men that couldn't be there. We went away, you know, so we went, it was a familiar place, you know, and so that's one thing that I might do different is to go to somewhere that's not as familiar. And it wasn't like a 13th birthday thing. It was around, you know, when they were going through puberty or as they started to go through puberty. And we would go just the dads and sons the night before. We would play cards, do something just, you know, fathers and sons. And then the next morning we would make breakfast together, you know, the sons helping us and everything like that. And then the dads that were coming to meet us would join us. And I don't remember if it was either at breakfast or shortly after breakfast. And then we'd have a time, you know, of sharing, you know, of the men would share their wisdom, you know, things that they wanted to do or wanted to, you know, impart, you know, onto these young men. And then we had like a sort of a physical challenge, you know, where we used a sword, you know, as the symbol, you know, of their manhood. And we had the sword, you know, kind of placed behind the other men. And so they had to, you know, get through or get past the other men in order to get the sword. And typically, a young man that age automatically thinks fight, you know, and so that's what they do. Like, they attack to get the sword. And we use that as an opportunity to teach them that if a man is going to use his masculinity in the wrong way, it is your job as a man to keep them from doing that. And so we all, I mean, we fight them. And that's why we do it before they go through puberty, because they're not quite as strong.
Matt raises some big boys. I just want to say, like, his son is playing football and it looks like he plays football. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah.
But anyway, to finish that. So, like, this year, we because of COVID, my 16-year-old son, like, we just did it this past year. And he actually pal drove one of the dads as he was trying to get to the sword. So anyway, like, they learned that they have to ask, you know, for the sword. They have to ask, you know, kind of politely for the sword. And then we give it to them. And that's kind of the culmination of that kind of ceremony. And then we hang out for a little bit longer. I think this year we shot some guns and stuff like that, just to, because we were out in the, you know.
But going into it, both experiences, Stephen, the one that you wrote about, but also the one that you experienced, both of them have that element of, hey, we're going to do something, father, son. And then they kind of get surprised by, actually, this is going to be more enriched with meaning than you expected. Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My rite of passage weekend was a total surprise to me. So my dad said that we were going to go away on a camping trip for a weekend. And on the drive up, I was surprised. You know, we stopped for breakfast and my grandfather and my two uncles were in the booth sitting next to us. And they surprised me and they said, you know, we're not going to go camping this weekend. We're going to go on this rite of passage weekend that's going to be about you becoming a man. And Matt, you know, a lot of elements of what you were talking about, what you have already given your older sons, that was in my rite of passage as well. You know, you talked about how immediately the boys think that they need to attack, you know, and fight for that sword. And that's, you know, analogous to, and as men, you know, oftentimes we're told that what it means to be a man is to be macho, you know, to be the fighter, the provider. And it's true, you know, at times we do need to be strong. We do need to fight for things that are worth fighting for. But that's not what it means to be a man all the time, you know. Being a man also means being able to use your words and express your feelings and communicate. You know, if a man never learns how to communicate and he enters into marriage, that marriage is not going to go very well, you know?
Yep.
So
yep.
Being a man, although being macho is an element of it, that's not everything. You know, learning how to use your words and talk and work with people is a big part of being a man too. So I think, Matt, you know, you hit it on the head with what you were doing with your sons already.
Yeah. And it was like kind of, it was a blessing because there's another dad, you know, my age who like has a son, Levi's age, my oldest son's age. And so we did this together and we came up with it together first, you know, because yeah, we saw the need, you know, for that, you know, in the same way your dad did, you know, which I can't wait to have him on, you know, the next episode, because that inspiration to, I don't know, to give your sons what they need, your children what they need, is where that came from, you know. And it's been really good and it's been beautiful, you know, to be a part of that. So,
and yeah. I just want to tease something out. Matt, you're an excellent father. I look up to you. I admire the way that you raise your children and things like that. There's no doubt in my mind that you're raising good young men. However, it was still valuable for you to step away and say, we're going to take more time to invest in this person and say, now you are a man, right? All along, you were growing your son into a man. And now you're saying, now you are a man. And it's kind of like someone who's like, okay, yeah, I pray all the time. I pray throughout the day. And that's great. But you also need some dedicated prayer time where you shut everything else down and you say, I'm focused solely on prayer. And that was what this moment was, both for you, Stephen, and for your boys, Matt, where you set it aside. And so I just want to say that because I know there's a lot of awesome dads that are listening. It's worth doing that extra piece and saying it's noble to set this aside. The other piece I want to kind of point out is that it wasn't a misconstrued understanding of manhood. It's almost a restoration of manhood. Stephen, you mentioned it in the sense that there was communication, articulation of feeling, right? And I'm not saying that you guys sat around and you know, shared flowers with each other or anything like that. You can hear about it more both in the next episode and in the book. But there is an expression, and men know how to express and articulate heavy things, deep things, and it was a nurturing. You walked out of that cabin knowing that you had a tribe around you to continue to grow the manhood that you had just claimed. And in the same way, Matt, the get to the sword type of thing, it was like, nope, that's the wrong element of manhood. That's the wrong element of manhood. Like it wasn't overpower and misconstrue it. It's like actually putting your strength at the service of others is the best way to be a man. And in both instances, Christ is ultimately the model. And that really came through in both those experiences. So I just want to encourage everybody, if you're like, yeah, I'm just raising my son and I've got a good son, like, this will help make them a great son. Like do a rite of passage of some sort. I think is vital. I also want to note that when my daughter turned 13, I took her out to a nice dinner and I gave her a chastity ring and we talked, I had the talk and different things like that. Not the talk, but a talk. And so there is something about that for girls as well. But that's not our wheelhouse. That's not our expertise with David and Matt, because they've never had a daughter turn 13. I mean, yeah. So
not yet. Next year.
Steven's never been a daughter that turned 13. So there's that. Yeah.
One element of the weekend is, you know, it involves the older men in a boy's life, and so that means the previously initiated brothers and cousins would go on the trip, you know. So I experienced it as a 13-year-old, but I was also in attendance to my younger brother's rite of passage weekends and to my younger cousin's rite of passage weekends. Obviously, I never attended my cousins who were females. I never attended their weekends because that was a girls only trip.
Sure.
But I was able to see it from both sides, you know, as the young mentee, who was getting the advice, and then also as one of the mentors who was giving advice to a 13-year-old. And I'll tell you, I think as a mentor, as one of the older men, you probably get more out of the weekend than the 13-year-old boy does, you know, because the 13-year-old boy is absorbing all of these things and he doesn't really have a lot of life experience to relate to some of these things being said. Whereas once you've lived a little, you can really come to appreciate the advice that's being given. Now, that being said, I think it's still worth giving a 13-year-old a rite of passage, even though they might not absorb all of it, because anything that they do absorb is going to be as good as gold for them. You know, a 13-year-old doesn't really have a lot of wisdom, but their father, their grandfather, their uncles have accumulated a ton of wisdom. So anything that can get passed down can be really beneficial to them. Any of those life lessons or, you know, quote unquote, tribal knowledge, anything that can get passed down to the 13-year-old is really beneficial, even though we know that he's not going to absorb all of it.
And I think one of the elements that allows that to have a staying power or a lasting power to it is the letters that were exchanged. Because that 13-year-old can be a freshman in college and be going through a hard time and go back to that envelope of letters and read through it and gain that wisdom, soak up that wisdom for another serving.
Yeah. Earlier, y'all were talking about like emotions and men being in touch with themselves, you know, and their feelings and whatnot. And there is a component, you know, to the weekend where, or to the rite of passage, that this is one of the pieces that I'm definitely going to take and incorporate with my next son, is the recognition of weaknesses. You know, basically the men, you know, like they put down their traits that they see that are, you know, good and bad, you know, about themselves. And the young man gets to choose, you know, which of those, you know, they're going to take on themselves, hopefully leaving all the weaknesses. But it's men getting like, and they get to see their dads, their grandpas, their uncles, like share that this is my weakness, And I know it's a weakness of mine, you know, and it shows that like there is strength in understanding your weaknesses. And that's just beautiful. I love that, you know? Yeah.
So with clarity, there was a moment in my life where I knew that I was a man, and I can point to it, but it's in a very different way than Stephen, what you got to experience, because at age 13, that was the moment, you can say that was the moment where I knew that I was a man. For me, I questioned it. I felt, you know, and I was a late bloomer. So if I was in Matt's family and I had to wait until you went through puberty, I would have almost been in college by the time all the other cousins were like 12 years old and they got to go on their rite of passage, but not me. So so there was a lot of insecurity that kind of lingered from that reality. And I was in spiritual direction in college, and I had gone to confession to Father David, and it was the probably the 300th time that I've shared the exact same thing in confession, you know. And he grabbed me by my shirt, like grabbed me and yanked me forward. And he goes, "Chris, when are you going to stop acting like a boy and be the man God created you to be?" It was in that moment that I was like, oh, when I'm behaving like a boy, I'm actually acting like one, because I'm a man acting like someone I'm not. And just, it was amazing. It was terrifying, but it was amazing. But that came from a spiritual director, which was a father figure, but not my own father, not my own kind of father figures from the tribe or the house or the family I grew up in. I just think that there's more value in it coming from your own family. So my question is, like, for you, Stephen, and your cousins and the other ones you've seen go through the rite of passage, how is it, what type of change takes place when they come back and they know now that they're a man? Like, what does that look like in regards to them claiming that reality as a 13-year-old?
Good question. You know, part of me thinks you should say that question for next week when my dad's here, because he'll have a better answer for you. Only because, you know, when my siblings had their rite of passages, I'm only a couple years older than them, right? So I was 15, 16 years old when they had their 13-year-old rite of passage. So I wasn't really paying attention to like, oh, how did this change him? You know?
Okay.
Now, when my son has his rite of passage, for sure, I'll be watching out for that kind of stuff. But I can't answer the question personally. You know, I can talk about my own experience and how it changed me. And I'll say, you know, at the time it made me feel very respected. You know, I felt like, wow, my family did something really special and unique for me. And this is a really cool feeling to be like, they told me straight up, you are a man now in our eyes. You know, that was really cool. I felt very special. The weekend, it was just all about the boy. You know, it's not about, you don't initiate two people or three people at one time. It's all the attention is on the boy. And so it made me feel very included in the tribe of men, you know? But I will say, you know, like everyone, I had my ups and downs as a teenager. You know, I was not a perfect kid by any means. So I think that the benefits of the rite of passage are primarily a long-term investment. You know, it wasn't until my early 20s that I started to realize like, wow, this was a really special event that not every other man experiences in their life. And it gave me a lot of security knowing my place in the world. And what I mean by that is I always knew the exact moment that I became a man. So when I could look back and say, okay, it was when I was 13 years old and my dad and my grandfather and my uncles took me away for a weekend and told me that I was a man. So right. I didn't feel the need to test myself in the same ways as far as like extreme stunts or violence. You know, I had more security about my place in the world as a man. Another big benefit for me, a way that it really impacted my life was passing down the faith, taking on the faith. When I was in college, you know, like many people, I was being introduced to new ideas and really started to question, you know, why am I Catholic and what do I believe? You know, I wasn't going to church with my mom and dad anymore. This was, I'm on my own now. You know, I get to decide what I want to do. So I had some moments, I had a few months of really not knowing, a time in my life where I was really questioning things. And I looked back and I remembered what my grandfather and what my dad had told me at that rite of passage weekend. And what they told me was, we are here on your side through thick and thin. And you can call on us at any time. Our doors are always open. You can talk to us about anything. And we will have your best interest in mind. And so it was really in college that I was the first time that I decided to take them up on that offer. And I came to them with my questions about, I don't know if I believe in God. Like, why do you believe in God? You know, why are you Catholic? And I had never asked those questions to them, you know, and I'm not sure. I was really nervous. I didn't know what my dad and my grandfather would think if I came to them and told them, like, I'm not sure if I believe in God anymore. You know, I was really nervous, but ultimately it was because of what they said during that rite of passage weekend. They said, you can come to us no matter what, and we will love you unconditionally. It was that memory that pushed me over the edge and said, no, I can trust these guys. And I came to them with my questions, and they were able at that time in my life, they were able to help me navigate the questions that I was having. And I mean, who knows what would have happened otherwise, but there's a big part of me that thinks, I don't know if I would be Catholic today if it wasn't for the rite of passage weekend, because of the advice that was given to me and the fact that they told me, you can come to us with anything, you know? So I think the element of trust and mentorship was huge for me, you know, being able to pass down the faith. Like I said, I don't know if I would be Catholic today if it wasn't for this weekend.
I wonder how much of that also, you know, goes into, I don't know, when you know you're a man, you don't have as much, as much reservation asking another man for advice. And so if you're a young man who doesn't know that he's a man, then he doesn't know if he's equal, and he doesn't know if he can ask advice from another man, you know, but you, like, having gone through that and know you're a man, that barrier's gone. You know, so that's a really, like, interesting thing, because I don't know psychology, you know, or anything like that, but I bet there's, you know, a psychological component there, you know, that when you see each other as equals, you're much more likely to ask someone for their advice, for their help. I'm just curious how much of that plays into that. So
for sure. So I would say that was probably the biggest way that it affected my life, was that it gave me the ability to talk to the other men in my life about things that really mattered. You know, I wasn't afraid. I mean, well, I was afraid, but ultimately I was able to get over that fear, to talk to my grandfather and my father about things that really matter, the most important things in life, you know, the non-trivial things.
So two things that really jump out. The first is that rite of passage weekend, or that rite of passage experience, still echoes in your soul. Right.
Absolutely.
And for me as a father, to be able to hear, like, hey, something that my dad did affected me when I was in my 20s, that I desire that so much because I have such a spirit of control.
In the positive way, right, Chris? Like, in the positive way. Because there's a lot of things we do that affect our kids for the rest of their life that they need counseling for.
They have to talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist about. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're worried that we can traumatize our kids, and we can. But the opposite is true too. We can, whatever ties our kids into, like, into moments where they own their faith and they can think back to us, and it can be almost like a homing beacon, which is absolutely amazing. And so I'm encouraged by that reality. The second piece I want to acknowledge, and I don't know how old you are, Stephen, but the world has changed a lot since your rite of passage. Yeah. And because of that, I just want to encourage men to claim manhood. and not just for themselves, but also for their sons. We have to claim and defend manhood. And I have a feeling that that's part of the passion behind the project that is Milestone to Manhood, this book you wrote, because it already exists in the culture of your family. So why try and share it to other people? Well, because manhood is under attack. You know, we look at Matt Walsh's recent documentary, What is a Woman? But actually, manhood can be found offensive to some people. And A, that's not a correct worldview of manhood. But B, that's also not a reason for us to back away from our manhood. It's actually a call for us to more radically embrace our manhood so that we can redeem the misconstrued understanding or the lie of manhood that society has created. There is a truth in the gift of manhood that we have to claim. And this rite of passage weekend really helped us claim it. I cannot wait to see what it's like to unpack this with your dad, who was an innovator in regards to making this a reality, and talk a little bit more about why put so much time into this. You know, why did you guys make this a passion project for you, and some of the fruits that have come of that. So
yeah, because your dad is like Chris and myself. He was not raised with this. He did not have this rite of passage when he was growing up, right? You know, and so it's different, you know, being a man who has to point to something. Like for me, like Chris, you talked about, like what you point to is Father David yelling at you.
Yep.
You know, what I point to is honestly working on my house after my wife and I were married, and we were pregnant with our first child, pregnant with Levi, and the realtor that found a house for us was showing me how to do all kinds of manly things around the house, you know, plumbing, electrical, you know, carpentry, all kinds of stuff to fix up our house. That's what I would point at, you know, is when I knew I was a man, because I was married, I had a child, and I was building our home, you know, and that was a ritual. I mean, it was, you know, it was something that, you know, was not, anyway, so that's like way too late. Like that was 10 years later, you know, than 13, you know, and there's a 10 year gap of not good stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. It led to some good stories though. I enjoy some of those mid 20s Matt stories, but they're more like facepalm stories as opposed to didn't you see how God was working type of stories. So hey, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. I want to point you guys to his website. It's Milestone to Manhood, all one word, milestonetomanhood.com. You can also go to amazon.com and type the same thing into the search bar and get this book for you, or I actually just sent a picture of the book to the father of my godson, who's turning 13 soon. So I want to be a part of his rite of passage weekend, which means that I need to encourage his father to have some sort of a rite of passage experience for my godson. So how else can they find you or reach you or anything else you want to say as we wrap up today, Stephen?
No, that's it. Our website, milestonetomanhood.com. The book is available on Amazon. That's how you can reach me.
Good. Well, awesome. Stay tuned next week as we get David
on. Chris.
Oh, go ahead.
For those that comment on this episode, over the next 2 weeks from release date for the next 2 weeks, we are going to basically draw a name at random from whoever comments, and we're going to ship you a free copy of the book.
Awesome. We will have David, Stephen's dad, on at the next episode. So stay tuned for that. Stephen and David will actually share their experience of going through that rite of passage. And you'll get a few more details in regards to what that rite of passage includes as well. You guys, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us and really for investing in this type of thing to inspire other fathers to do that. I think that is I don't know if you saw that movie Inside Out. This is like one of those core memory balls. You know what I mean? Like it's just like floating into like manhood, you know, to claim it. And I think it's necessary. Something I desire for my sons for sure.
Well, thank you so much. You know, the pleasure has been mine. It's been an honor to be on your show. I want to encourage you guys too. You know, you're clearly two good Catholic men who love your children and love your wives, and you're just trying to help men on their journeys as well. So I want to give you guys a pat on the back and say nicely done as well.
Thank you.
Thank
Stephen.
You. Yeah.
Stephen, I have no idea how much fear, you know, behind you in writing this book there was. I know for me, you know, if I put myself out there like that, I've got a whole lot of, you know, the devil's got a whole lot of things he can poke at with me to keep me from doing it. So, Yeah, praise God that you were able to like to work through that, to get through that and get this out there. It's a huge blessing.
Thank you. Well, having a godly wife at your side really helps with that stuff.
Amen Good. To that. I think amen. We can all say an amen to that. Hey, you guys, thanks so much for joining us. We can't wait to see you at our next episode in just 2 weeks. Claim manhood. Go ahead and claim manhood and actually reflect on yourself. When did I start to recognize that I am a man? And what do you want your son to say when he asks himself the same question when he's your age? So again, let's go transform the world through manhood. We can do it. Thanks for joining us.
God bless.